next talk is will teach you how to remove obfuscation from your code using optimized algorithms. And talk will be held by Bankos Pavlievich. He works in information security consulting in Croatia. And I ask you to welcome him.
By optimization, and we'll do some fun stuff removing obfuscated code. This is a short overview. First, I'll explain why this project, why I started it, and what I hope it will become of it. Next, I'll discuss how things are done, especially disassembly, instruction semantics, optimization algorithms, and at the end, assembling. And I'll finish with a demonstration of a developed open source plugin. This is released and is already online, so you can try it and report bugs and give your opinion. So, the reasons why I start this project is because x86 architecture is complex. There are at around 700 instructions, different opcodes, variations of instructions, semantic differences between similar instructions and stuff like that. Most of you are familiar with two books about the release by Intel on instructions. They contain about 1,600 pages just describing every instruction available. When analyzing the obfuscated code, its complexity grows. Analyzing traditional assembly code is difficult, and obfuscations just introduce unnecessary problems. Assembly reading is not always pretty. When you introduce obfuscations, your code becomes highly unreadable. Debugging can help mitigate some of the problems, but not all of them. You can use debugging to resolve things that are hard to do with pure static analysis, and you can just feed the results from the debugger to the static analysis code, and you'll harvest all the benefits from debugging into the static analysis. This is an example of obfuscated code. This exact example is code splitting, basic ball splitting. Then you have regular code that is shredded into very small blocks and scattered all around the virtual address memory space. So in traditional disassembly listing, it is very difficult to navigate this code. Of course, you can use GraphView. And here it will collect all the graphs and join them into one easy memory graph. But GraphView is only available when you can make your obfuscated code into a function. If it's impossible, then you get this error message. So one of the problems with analyzing obfuscated code is it traditionally tries to break IDA into creating functions, and then you lose most of the benefits that are presented to analyzing obfuscated code. There are no public open source tools for deobfuscation, or that I'm aware of. Several antivirus companies have their own developed that are closed source and heavily guarded. There are no frameworks to analyze instruction semantics. These frameworks enable you to analyze assembly code. items that are good for removing obfuscations, analyzing code, doing code transformations and stuff like that. There are some tools developed by universities in the US like Vine and Web, but they're written in OCaml and I don't know how many of you here write OCaml, but it's not easy to extend them and integrate them into IDA. It's a fun thing to do if this is your very fun. And you can speed things up. Analyzing office code on a daily basis, you traditionally encounter many similar obfuscations. Removing them by hand every time is difficult and unpractical, so developing automated tool is just a logical thing to do. And reuse code for some other projects. You can reuse tempting algorithms for things like fuzzing, vulnerability research, and etc. Project goal: to rewrite code to fix the disassembly representation problems. So if you have a disassembly listing, you would like to join all the code that is associated with a specific function and rewrite it to another segment. In that segment, you can exploit all traditional code analysis tools and plugins like, I don't know, the compilation plugin for IDA or your own algorithms that work on traditional code. And also, you can harvest the benefits of GraphView and stuff like that. And of course, in the end, you can run the obfuscated version on with your emulator on directly on your computer. Next idea was to build a framework to analyze instruction tainting and semantics. So you have your algorithms that work on assembly. You'd like to somehow lift the assembly representation to something that doesn't contain all the hidden operand flag tainting that isn't visible while looking at the assembly listing, and you'd like to automate this process as much as possible. Extended for automatic deobfuscation, so after you have a basic framework that allows you to analyze and instrument assembly code, you can write your own transformations and transform that assembly into something that removes all the unnecessary stuff that you're not interested in. And in the end, expose API that allows everyone to use it and extend it. So, the first problem is disassembly. While disassembling, our basic unit is a function.
Function, because it's a logical unit that allows you to somehow group all the code that is responsible for one function of a program. Function is also very important structure in IDA. It enables IDA to better and richer data in code analysis. So, which manifests as ability to use GraphView or even the compilation tools like Hexarrays. So, the first thing is to just scroll down the code and reconstruct as much possible code and build and reconstruct the whole function. Function representation should have all instructions visible. So, one problem, and I'll show it in the next slide, is jumping into middle of instructions, hiding instructions in data, and in such cases, in the assembly listing, it's not always possible to easily identify such hidden instructions. Problems for people reading the code are basic block scattering. In the assembly listing, if you don't have a function, if you scatter small blocks around the address space,
it's very hard to navigate if you don't have available GraphView. This is not a real problem for disassembler, but for human analysis code. Fake paths in conditional jumps that lead to broken disassembler code, and this also breaks IDA ability to reconstruct functions. The last one is instruction overlapping. So if you have jumps that jump in the middle of another instruction, it's only possible to show one instruction and the other one will be hidden. And this is also a problem that is not a real problem for disassembler, but for human analysis code. So this is example of a conditional path that leads to broken disassembly and in turn disables IDA to create a function for this code. You can notice the red addresses. It's a sign that this code is not associated with any function. In this case, so you have, you can see. Okay, in this case, you have a broken path that leads to unrecognized instruction at address AFF2. So what would you like to do is, if you happen to come across some opcodes that IDA cannot resolve, you either replace them with a return instruction, and that way you can enable IDA to build a graph from scratch, or you can replace them with some protected ring zero instruction, and after that instruction you can add another return instruction. Instrumenting with this also can be used as a measure to break debuggers. So when a program, if it really takes this fake path, it will raise an exception and can use it for detecting debugger stuff like that. So if we replace the fake instructions with red and we add comment to the code when we rewrite it, so we know what was changed from the original from the original disassembly, and you can then analyze it like you usually do. This is a code that happens after you replace the return instruction at the mentioned address, and now you can notice that this code was associated with the function. Next thing too is instruction overlapping. So this assembly graph should contain all instructions. You're not only interested in instructions that are shown on shown in this assembly view, but also the other instructions that are embedded inside this multi-byte opcode. This is the first screen. You can notice the jump that jumps in the middle of itself, and the rest of the code is hidden. Next step is to undefine this instruction and continue disassembling from the
next opcode. In this case, this is the jump EAX.
In the end, when you rewrite the code, this is what you get. You get the jumps to next instruction, and that instruction is shown as it should be. This is before any optimizations are done, so in the end you will lose the jump instruction and have only the code that matters. Next is a function representation inside the develop framework is a graph. Graph is a very useful data structure that enables you to just express the control flow of code. So function is represented as a graph. A graph contains nodes. Each node in graph is represented as an instruction. So you can model the control flow of every instruction and have branches associated with each node. Edges represent the control flow, and this IDA disassembly engine used for parsing codes. This proved to be somewhat not exactly the optimal solution using IDA for this, but I'll discuss later some troubles associated with this. And that first search is used to explore all the possible disassembly view of code. So each node, as I mentioned, is represented as an instruction. Instruction controls all information that is necessary when you analyze each instruction. So its origin address, its mnemonic, its disassembly, prefix, operands, opcode, operand types, and etc. All this is just translated from IDA to the framework. Instruction information is populated from two sources. Information directly from IDA, when you can use get name, get operand type, get operand value, and build the instruction representation in memory. This
has some bad side effects.
And another one, another way to collect this information is information derived from get this ASM function. Each instruction contains both representations and both information from the both sources. I'll discuss where each source is used and why. So, side story, mnemonics differ.
If you use either getMnem function, you'll get a basic mnemonic associated with that instruction. So, for example, if you have a stos d instruction, a getMnem will return stos. When you try to analyze semantics of stos, it's not the same as stos d. The sizes of the operands are different, and you lose much of the information associated with semantics of instruction. So, in cases like this, and if you analyze the semantics of instructions, you'd like to have disassembly of get disassem instruction. This instruction gives the representation that is given to you on the screen. So get disassem and get mnem differ, and you should notice this if you analyze semantics of instructions. A special example of this is get mnem for xlet instruction. Xlet is just xlet has two syntaxes. First has associated operand, as noted in the upper opcode. So it has so you can pass it some operand and you will have this assembly that says xlet m8.
Another view is to use the different syntax. This is xlet b. This instruction has associated hidden operand. So if you use either to analyze this code and you get xlet instruction, you will think that you have operand associated with that instruction. But this is false.
If you run a get operand for the first operand that you should get back, you will get a zero. You will get empty string. But get operand type returns one. So this is a hidden operand that is actually the bottom syntax used. So this is just something to note if you are going to instrument stuff like this. So next thing is functions. Functions is abstracted as a class. Function contains all the basic block information plus the control flow information. Control flow graph information is important because it enables traversing of control flow, and because when modifying control flow, you should keep in mind all references. In the end, you'd like to have both top-down control flow graph and bottom-up. This way you can also exploit all the bottom-up algorithms that optimize code. And here are some instruction functions that are exported and that you can use to traverse control flow graph and analyze code. And all the control flow graph optimizations operate on this class. So they modify control flow graph, and control flow graph is information is embedded in the function class. Basic block is implemented as linked list. Each code instruction is represented as an instruction class that has its prefix, mnemonic, operands, and so on. It stores all the information that is returned from getOp star functions, getOp value, getOp operand, and so on. And also, instruction contains all the opcodes and operands that are associated with get disassem instruction. In the previous slide, this was discussed in cases when you don't want to use the getMnem and you want to use get disassem. So, instruction semantics, this is useful, not just for the obfuscation, but for taint analysis. So each instruction has several operands that are visible on the screen. There are numerous operands that are hidden, and there are flags that are not shown when you use this assembly listing. So, for example, you have emule ECX, and what you get is on the screen, you just get that instruction taints the ECX register. But this is not true. It taints not only ECX, but EDX, EAX, and all the mesh flags. This information is necessary if you want to do safe optimizations. So you want to instrument each instruction, all the data it taints. And you cannot forget some flags or other stuff. This is instruction semantics is also necessary for safe dead code elimination. So if you have instructions that taint some memory that gets overwritten, you can safely remove them. Around 700 instructions are currently supported, and I use MageGen's XML that contains all the x86, 32-bit, and 64-bit opcodes and all the hidden and regular operands. So instruction semantics is implemented as taint instruction class. So you, for each instruction, you get taint destinations, sources and destinations. This includes all the operands, hidden and visible, all the flags, modified, read, and set to a constant value. Additional benefits of using the mentioned XML code is that you can instrument side effects. So if you have a pop instruction, you can also do comparison of opcode and deduce if it increments ESP and by which value. Also, you have added value is that you can use it to detect ring zero instructions that are that exist in the ring three code. So if you know you're analyzing some ring three rootkit, and if you detect some ring zero instructions, you can deduce this automatically from the obfuscator, and you can either prune this path or replace it and analyze it. Intent information is necessary to perform safe optimizations, as I already mentioned. So, how this looks structure of the framework in memory. You have functions that represent control flow information. You have basic blocks that contain instructions and all the instruction data. You have instruction class that represents each instruction that exists in the disassembly, and at the end, instruction is mapped with its taint source. So for each instruction, you get exactly taint information that it's associated with it. Now the fun part, optimizations. After you reconstruct your function in the memory and calculate all the taint information for that for each instruction, you can use the traditional optimization algorithms to remove much of the obfuscated code. There are four main types of optimizations. First is control flow reduction. This is useful when you have like many shredded basic blocks that are scattered across the address space and that are connected with unconditional jumps. So you get fragmented code with and GraphView shows you a bunch of nodes. Another control flow optimization is conditional jump reduction. So you have a conditional jump that is basically opaque predicate, and for example, the false path is never taken. So you can automatically prune the whole path, replace the condition jump with jump, and continue analysis. Next group is dead code removal, in which you remove all the dead code that is just inserted to slow you down. Third type is heuristic rules. So during analysis, you build your database of some traditional obfuscations that you can easily remove by short scripts, and you can build your database of such obfuscations, import it into optimization algorithm, and use them to automatically remove all the mentioned obfuscations. And the last one is constant propagation and folding. This is still in development and will not be a part of the released plugin. In which case you simplify all the instructions that manipulate on data and that use as operands constant values. So, conditional jump reductions, conditional paths depend on flag status. You can use tent information to get flags on which a particular conditional jump depends. Use a backward algorithm to scan where this flag is set, and you can, with semantic information, you can deduce if this flag is set always, sometimes, or never. For example, AND always clears the overflow and carry flag, so all the conditional jumps like jump overflow, jump not overflow, jump carry, and so on, always take a single path. So you can prune the other one and just substitute the conditional jump with a regular jump. This optimization results in a smaller graph and better, more precise disassembly. Because if you prune the fake path, you will not encounter some bad disassembly, unknown opcodes, and stuff like that. And also, fake paths can be used to break IDA's function reconstruction algorithm, so you can also use the graph here. Jump merging is very simple optimization. If you have two blocks that are connected with jump, and the second block contains only a single reference, you can merge them together. This increases block size and reduces control flow graph complexity. This optimization is very useful if you use data analysis algorithms, because bigger blocks enable you to enable you to effectively use better optimizations on a single block. So this is a two-stage control flow graph optimization process. First, you have a conditional jump that points to two blocks. If you can determine that this conditional jump is, in effect, an opaque predicate, you can replace the conditional jump with a regular jump. And in the next stage, you can use optimizations that remove unnecessary unconditional jumps to just merge the two blocks together. In the end, you get a single block that has a very easy and nice control flow structure. Dead code optimization is based on tainting information. So every instruction whose execution doesn't modify program final state or control flow is classified as dead instruction. Every instruction in a block in which all taints get overwritten before getting used is effectively an algorithm that you can use to remove obfuscations. Removing is done with the following short algorithm. There are two rules that I don't currently implement. That is memory tainting. So memory taint analysis and aliasing problem is a complex one, and it's not currently addressed. So if the code encounters an instruction that taints memory, we will leave it just for the sake, and instructions that change control flow graph also are left out of dead code elimination. For all other instructions, you traverse a basic block and try to find all instructions that don't change program state. If you determine that such instruction exists, you just remove the instruction from the basic block and continue analysis. The last one is a rule-based optimization. So there is optimization that isn't automatically removed. You can just write a script and to remove it. I think it's pretty easy to do it. Here's a simple one that can replace ret-to-jump. So if you have a push address before a return instruction, you can classify it as jump rather than end of function. This 10 lines of code are example of such an heuristic rule for optimization. All the data is abstracted through classes, so it's very easy to modify the control flow, remove instructions, add instructions, modify instructions. It should be noted that when you modify instructions, all the stuff you do in memory representation of your function, can be exported back and assembled into the code. So, this is the last process. You have reconstructed your function and optimized it in a classes in memory, and now you want to write it into either database or export it to some executable code so you can run it and modify it. The basic algorithm is that you will assemble each instruction. Either provides API assemble that is unsupported and and has some weird syntax. You have to be very careful using this. Not all instructions are supported, but for the proof concept and for most of the instructions, it works nicely. Also, I use some custom rules for assembling all the code that it's not supported, and for the code that is supported, you can rewrite the whole functions into another segment. Okay, now for the demo. Okay, so the first example is binary from DEFCON challenges. This is a cute binary because it implements most of the mentioned obfuscations. You have basic blocks, splitting, code shredding, throwing basic blocks all around the address space, conditional jumps that contain fake paths. You have dead code and stuff like that. So the first instruction is the first example is code that either cannot create function from, so you can't use GraphView, and it implements some fake paths that are basically opaque predicates. So set carry sets the carry flag, and so this jump will always happen, and the rest is a fake path. You can see that if you don't see this yourself, most code here is not doesn't break this assembly. It looks nice, it looks regular, so it's not easy to detect that it's something it's fake just because it has a conditional jump here. To use the plugin, it's enough just to go to the basic address that you want to create a function from and run the plugin. Okay, it's running. So when the deobfuscation is done, you are presented with UI that asks you if you want to write the deobfuscated code back to the database. So you can assemble back all the deobfuscated functions to IDA database and exploit all the IDA algorithms and the GraphView and the plugins that you have yourself made. So we'll just use the standard. This is the size of the segment. So you can write many functions into the same segment, and you can call the segment optimized code. So on this side, so you can see this is the optimized function. So from all this code, you get only this function. It removes all the dead code and prunes all the fake paths, merges blocks, removes some heuristic obfuscations. This code also uses push red obfuscation, so it's also removed from this view. This is the first example. Another one is several days ago, weeks, on open RCE, someone posted the obfuscation that is based on source code obfuscation. So you have a source code, you can introduce some source code manipulations that add conditional code and dead code, and you compile the obfuscated source code, and in effect you get obfuscated binary code. It is also possible to remove this kind of obfuscation pretty simply. So you have here some very long basic block. You can just click on the start. Start the optimization. You can see all the dead instructions that are removed. Okay, we'll assemble it. And you get here the clean code without all the dead instructions. Here listed some of the dead instructions that are removed from the assembled version. You can notice here also that this code uses a lot of constant values and constant instructions. So this is not currently supported, but it's pretty easy to write the obfuscation algorithm that will also remove all the expressions that use constant values. Okay, this is pretty much for the demo. You can download it and use it. So conclusions, it can remove static obfuscations pretty easily. You can feed it data from disassembler, so you get added value over the classical pure static analysis. You can tool chain this. So you have a disassembler or code instrumentation framework you normally use. You can plug it to feed data to the optimization plugin and reconstruct functions based on the executed code. Then you can optimize them and export them back and assemble them into your IDA project. So you can analyze and run the code and modify it from the execution trace. It's work in progress, it has bugs. Currently, most notable bugs are related to assembling in IDA. I plan to switch to the NASM or some other assembler that will handle all the instructions better. If you have ideas, obfuscations that you'd like to see, you can send them. You can extend, improve, contribute. It's open source, MIT license, so you can do whatever you want with it. Greet some people that helped with this. Nan, Buan Zdrnja, Tox, Harp, MageGN for his XML data, Rofrolls, Olg Noblets, Reddit, folks, and so on. Thank you for your attention. Any questions? Yeah.
Hi. I wonder what happens if this tool is processing code that's not really obfuscated, but maybe look like obfuscated. So for example, there is this very nice hack in X264 encoder, which uses a double fall through code. It jumps into a function, then uses a call instruction on later code. The later code runs through read instruction back to the original instruction, and then it falls through the same code. So this looks much like obfuscated code, but it's not. It's a hand written optimization to save cycles and space.
Okay, so all the deobfuscation algorithms should be safe. So I try to modify some rules to minimum. I use code tainting to just get a basic idea of what code does. Because I reconstruct, I associate each instruction to a single function. So if you have a shared block, so you have a block that is shared among several functions, this block will be reconstructed to each function will be given a private copy of that code. So if your obfuscations are not really obfuscations and your code runs fine before it was deobfuscated, it should run fine after it was removed some code. So basically, I don't do much heuristic rules that will remove or modify the logic of the program. I just remove the functions and instructions, paths, control flow that can be proven by tainting algorithm that it's not used. That or either it's dead code or the conditional jump is the path in conditional jump is never used. So if your code works, then there's no problem optimizing it. You can just use the optimization algorithm to rewrite the code to another segment and just collect all the scattered information from the address space or the block sharing issues into a single function.
Hi, thank you very much for the interesting talk. My question is, I wonder how much the plugin is tied to the x86 architecture and if it's possible to do a variation for, let's say, ARM?
So, the tainting algorithms are mainly based for x86 because I have the nice XML representation of the semantics of that architecture. It is possible to write the same thing, semantics, for another processor, and you can feed it nicely into the plugin. I should mention that you can extend it not just for IDA. If you wrap all the IDA exported functions, like get mnemonic, get operand type, get operand value, you can just embed it in debuggers like Immunity Debugger that has already all the Python code that supports executing Python code. So if you wrap the necessary functions, you can port it to architectures different or different processors and debuggers and stuff like that. Because there are no limits for the number of operands that are supported. So you can have one, two, three operands are supported by Intel, and you can use just 10 operands for I don't know, for some kind of custom processor.
You remove some no operations or blocks. What's about timing problems with running code?
So timing problems, like...
So time you optimized code runs even faster. I don't know how it react on the original.
So yes, if you optimize code, basically it should run faster. So you're wondering, how this works if you have some protections like Armadillo or something that use instrumentation based on the child that is executing, or?
If you talk to hardware, and when the software is too fast, the hardware comes with you.
Excuse me, I didn't hear you well.
Especially if you talk to hardware and your code is optimized, code runs too fast for the hardware anymore.
No, I don't execute any code. This is pure static deobfuscation.
Okay, it's just for reading better code.
Yeah, so okay. When you write it back to the assembly, you can execute it as it will execute on your processor. And if it's optimized, then it should run faster.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yeah, Mike?
First, first of all, a good talk. Thanks very much. What I wonder about is if you purely do your analysis static, how do you actually find out which path of the opaque predicates are taken, and how deep is the level of opaque predicates that you can solve? So given that you have like a set carry instruction or something like that, it's going to be pretty simple. But you can think of a function that is way more like obstructed.
Yeah, I was actually surprised when some of the conditional jumps were optimized. For example, end instruction was like 7 instructions above the conditional jump, and end instruction sets overflow flag. So if you have somewhere down jump overflow, it will take just a single path. So the opaque predicates analysis is based on the semantics and tainting analysis that is reconstructed for each instruction. So all these algorithms are layered. So first you run control flow optimizations, then you run data optimizations, then you run instruction optimizations. So if you make a loop around it, at some point the code will be static, no changes will happen, and in that case this is when the algorithms will stop. The tainting, all the opaque predicates code is just there is no single opaque predicates removal, but it's based on that code removal. So if it's possible to make an equation that is solvable, if you have a conditional jump that depends on a set of flags, you iterate through the basic block and find the first instruction that actually taints the this code. So you have that instruction. You calculate taint information for that instruction, and the great thing about the mentioned XML file is that it gives you some, it gives you all the flags that are constant. So if they are always set or always false. If you have undefined flags, and you have a jump, conditional jump that depends on the undefined flags, then it's not possible to solve this problem.
Okay, and given that it's just like pretty much a simple kind of register tracking which you do.
Yeah.
Right?
So
the XML file also contains like a description of all the information that you need to do something like
This XML file is used for like for building a disassembler. So you have all the opcodes, all the prefixes associated with that opcode, all the hidden and visible operands. So for example, pop instruction, you will have that it taints also ESP register. You will also have all the flags it doesn't or does taint. So basically you get all the semantic information from the XML file. So you can do all the optimizations and taint analysis based on the semantics of a single instruction.
Cool, thanks.
Okay.